Every single one of us in creation has a sweet, sweet sound in us. We all have a song inside of us. As I read over this week and pondered this and felt God leading me teaching Psalms in the coming weeks and months, there's something that really started to stir in me about the history of music in the Bible and each and every one of us. You know, we may not like music per se in the sense that we don't like to sing. But there's no denying that our culture, our world is saturated with music. Music is everywhere. You go into a department store, it's there. In the elevator, it's there. You know, we call it elevator music because it's the music that plays in elevators. It's discovered that if you play certain music when people are shopping, they'll spend more money. It's all around us. It's in restaurants. It's in our churches. It's in our homes, on our little devices, in our cars, on the radio. Music is all around us, you see. And there's a reason for that. It's something that God has put in us. And this music is designed to bring that sweet, sweet sound out of us. How many of us here this morning like music? How many of us like music? Music is something that I just absolutely could not live without. I love it when the choir sings. I'm sitting there and God's speaking to me and just flowing. Things are pouring in because it's inspiring something deep inside me that I can't explain. Music stirs our souls. I confess this morning, they say that confession is good for the soul. I confess I'm a John Denver fan. Do we have any John Denver fans here? Growing up, I listened to John Denver, Country Roads, Take Me Home, you know, all those kinds of things. Maybe you are a Lawrence Welk fan. How many of you are Lawrence Welk fans? Yeah, I am too. I watched Lawrence Welk as a kid with my grandparents. How about Hey Haw, you know, Wound, Despair, and Agony on Me? If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. A lot of times that's our song. And you know, I ever listened to Framing Teicher. Framing Teicher was, you know who I'm talking about? When I was a young boy painting my houses and buildings that are where we lived, my mom had Framing Teicher's albums and we listened to them. And the thing that's so really cool about music is it brings back things in our minds. It stirs something up and changes the way we feel. I can remember 45 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, when the song by George Harrison, My Sweet Lord, came out. Do you know where I was one day sitting when that song was playing on the radio? And I can remember sitting in that chair as if I was right there, right now. I was getting my braces on in Williamsburg. You see, music does this thing to us. It takes us back, it stirs the soul. It just has a way of affecting our lives and imprinting something in the depths of our souls. If you would ask most people, they would say that there is music in heaven, that there's going to be music when we get there, but there's also music in heaven going on right now. How many of you believe that God enjoys music? We read about, you know, the angelic choruses. We read about the harps, you know. So if we believe God likes music, loves music, and we're created in the image of God, then it's theologically sound to believe that God put that divine musical inspiration or touch inside each and every one of us when he created us. And he did this for a reason. I was visiting someone the other day who's now bedridden in their home and wasn't feeling very well that particular day. And I was sharing with them how on particular days when I'm not feeling well and I'm lying in bed, that I like to listen to music because music takes my mind places. It stirs my soul. It soothes the soul. And it has a soothing effect and a healing effect. And I believe that God intended it to be that way. I really do, because of the effects of music on my own personal life and how I see, like the kids, the music in these things stir them and bring smiles to their faces. One of the most memorable parts of Christmas is the music.
We can't wait to sing the Christmas songs. We start hearing them in the stores in early November, and we say, oh, it's Christmas again. And it changes our attitudes, maybe in some cases negatively. Oh boy, here it is again, they're pushing it. In some cases it's positive, but it changes us. It's one of the most memorable parts of Christmas. We sing the Christmas songs over and over and over again till they're literally imprinted on our minds. And sometimes we're tired of singing them and we say, I can't wait to sing something else, believe it or not. But long after Christmas, they keep echoing in our minds. They keep echoing in our minds. It's sort of like a reverberation in a song or in music where, you know, something's repeated over and over and over again like an echo. As it fades out, it's sort of like a reverb. The Christmas songs in our minds keep echoing long after Christmas is over. But the question is, does the music stop with us, or do we allow it to echo out of us and possibly make an impression on others, speaking to them the echoes of Christmas, like a hit song on the radio 40 years ago that still lingers in our minds today and takes us back to that place when possibly we first heard the song, or maybe we heard it at a special event that affected our lives in a special way. What we heard had a lasting effect on us. The music has a lasting effect on us. And again, I can't help but think that God intended it to be that way. As Christians, Paul wrote often to the believers in the various cities about singing and making music. Here he wrote to the believers in Ephesus, said, be careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. People are grouchy out there today. They just want you to get out of their way. I was at a four-way down in Lewisburg the other day as I pulled up to the four-way. There were cars coming and going, and you're supposed to take turns and be gracious to the other drivers. Well, one car was sitting there waiting, and another car went. The guy, he just pulled up to the stop sign, and he really didn't stop. He just kept going. And as it was supposed to be this lady's turn, as she looked at the guy, I could not read her lips, but I could tell she was not happy. And she waved at the man, but not with all fingers. People are grouchy. And you know, folks, as Christians, created in the image of God, there's something deep down inside of us that can make a difference in our world today. And it's a sweet, sweet song that we have. And it doesn't have to be musically perfect. It doesn't even have to be sung to a tune or a tempo. But just simply saying these things changes people. Paul says, instead of getting drunk on wine, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, what he was saying to the believers, As when you get drunk, you lose your faculties and control of yourself. Why don't you allow the Holy Spirit to take control of you and control your actions? And in doing so, allow the Holy Spirit to bring that joy out so that you speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God our Father for everything. As we started Tuesday night in the book of Psalms, we were talking about what the Psalms really are. And in the ancient languages, the word psalm has sort of an underlying meaning from root words of teaching, of revelation, of teaching us something. And when you read the Psalms in the Bible, you start to understand because the Psalms tell about the glories and the power of God, about who God is, what he's done, and how we can trust in the Lord. Singing and making music is a tool for us to witness to the world. It allows the Holy Spirit to speak through us. In Psalm 147, the writer writes, in there being three stanzas to this psalm, and the writer begins each stanza with, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord, extol the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise him. So it's the right thing to do. The Lord builds up, he heals, he binds up wounds, he determines the number of stars, he has power and understanding, he sustains the humble, He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies rain. He makes grass grow. He provides food for the livestock. You see, the Psalms speak to us to give us enlightenment. That was the word I was trying to think of. The Psalms enlighten us as to who God is, what he's done, and how we can trust in him. And you read these Psalms, these songs of thanksgiving and expressions of God all the way back in the book of Exodus in chapter 15. Now understand, it is hard sometimes to sing because we have a lot of trouble in our lives, don't we? But Paul said to the Ephesians, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And when we start to sing, something changes. When we start to listen to music, something changes. I remember a few years ago, there was someone called into one of the radio shows on the Christian station, and we're talking about how in the night they would wake up and they couldn't sleep, and how they felt that Satan was putting evil thoughts in their minds, and how they could hear voices in the night, and they were terrified to the point they didn't even want to go to bed. And the person on the radio talk show suggested something very wise. When you go to bed, very low, put on Christian music and let it play all night long, and it will chase those evil spirits away. And it's true. Try it sometime. It sort of gives you a sense of peace that passes all of our human understanding. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity to sing your song, to allow your expressions of God, who he is, what he's done for you, out of you. And we say, well, wow, I got a lot of problems in my life. I got a lot of issues I'm dealing with. Well, let me ask you, are you standing on the shores of the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army behind you? There's no hope. You're going to die, right? When Moses and the Israelites crossed over to the other side, read it in Exodus 15, there's a song that they sang. And Miriam, Aaron's sister, danced with the ladies with tambourines and sang songs of praise to God because God had delivered his people. We don't have any reason to sing or to praise God. Why don't you stop and think about this? So that the music of Christmas doesn't die, that it echoes and reverberates on in your soul, that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Deliverance, folks, is first and foremost one reason for us to sing, knowing that if God has delivered us from slavery to sin and death, he's going to deliver us from whatever struggle or battle that we're in right now. Secondly, we think about David. David had his shares of struggle. People were chasing him to kill him, to destroy him. They were jealous of him. David wrote a lot of hymns. They're called Psalms. In his direst hour, when he was threatened the most by his family and by his friends, he wrote some of the greatest Psalms that humanity's ever known. You see, in the book of Luke, we read where the angel comes to Mary and announces that she's going to have a son and he's going to save his people from their sins. What's she do? She sings. There's a song that Mary sings. Simeon, when Jesus is brought into the temple and presented on the eighth day, there's Simeon. Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and he, I don't know whether sang it, but he expressed the glory of God and the faithfulness of God to his promises. But it's a song, because when you read it in your Bible and you see it, it's been offset in the center, like so many scriptures are, that tell us that it's meant to be in a poetic form or a song, that the Israelites would sing from time to time, and that was one of the ways that they learned the scriptures, and they'd be imprinted on their minds. And they had tunes for many of them that they would follow in singing them. And I tell people sometimes the most powerful prayer that we can pray is to turn to the Psalms and pray the Psalms. They're powerful. They have an effect on us. They change us so that our joy becomes complete and we express our joy in Almighty God for what he's done, what he's doing, and knowing what he's going to do, because he's promised me that. The angels, there they were, singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to all on whom God's favor rests. If we believe that God likes music, the angels like music, and there's singing in heaven, there's choruses in heaven, what are we going to think we're going to be doing when we get to heaven? Hunting ducks? No, that's not going to be my concern when I get there. We're going to be praising our Savior all the day long. The other day I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts to pick up my wife a vanilla chai, which I got to tell you, the funny thing is I knew it would pay off, and it did. My wife went out this morning, brushed off my car, and started it up for me before I came down to church. And I said, "Why did you do that?" She said, "Vanilla chai." So I said, "I knew it would pay off." And I walked in, and there this young girl is. And she's over cleaning the coffee thing off where they pour the coffee. And she's cleaning it off with a rag, and her hands are a mess. And I walked up to the counter, and she said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, I need a vanilla chai." And she said, "Small, medium, or large?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. Show me the cup sizes." Well, she looks around to the one girl behind her and says, "Can you get me a vanilla chai?" And they were busy. And so she comes over to the counter, and she's like this with her hands. And I said, "I'm sorry." I said, I didn't mean to interrupt you in that. I said, "It's okay. Take your time. I'm not in a big hurry." And she said, "Well, I made a big mistake. I spilled coffee all over here." And I looked at her and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "it's okay. It's okay that you made a mistake." And she's apologizing for this. And I said, "It's okay. I'm not in a big hurry." I said, "You're allowed to make mistakes." And I said to her, "You know, there's only ever been one person that never made a mistake, and his name was Jesus." And she looked at me and she smiled and she said, "Boy, aren't you absolutely right." If that brightened her day, I don't know. But God put that on me, and it flowed out of me like a song of praise. And I told her, I said, "The problem today is everybody's in a great big hurry, and we need to slow down and relax." I said, "It's okay." I just wanted this girl to know that in some way and whatever, God laid it on my heart to speak to her that so that she might know that it is okay to be human. You see, and that's what happens when we let our souls open to people and let the songs come out in whatever way. It changes people. It changes our world. And we just celebrated Christmas, and we put all the stuff away now and packed it away until next year, including the songs. But you see, folks, you and I are the echoes of Christmas that go on and on and on throughout the rest of the year with those songs of joy, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all, and in his favor rests. You and I are the echoes of Christmas. If we're not speaking and encouraging others and sharing our witness and our testimony, then the songs, the joy, the happiness dies. See? We are the echoes of Christmas. Now, you may not be able to sing. You may say, "Oh, I can't sing." Do you know in the Methodist hymnal, John Wesley originally wrote, I want to say, guidelines for singing. You weren't supposed to wail, you know, so as to be obnoxious. You weren't supposed to moan. You're supposed to sing along to the best of your ability with everybody else, you know, and keep unity and harmony with everybody else. And some people say, "Well, I can't sing." Well, can you hum? I like to whistle. A lot of you have heard me whistle. I love to whistle. And I don't know why, I'm just always whistling. It just comes out of me. And I like to sing. A lot of mornings, on my morning walks, this morning was so beautiful. There was the freshly fallen snow, and the sun was rising over the horizon south of the valley. Just such a beautiful morning. And I could not help, folks, if you ever hear me coming along, I could not help myself but to sing this song that I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice and worship you. Because when we stop to think about all the goodness around us that the Lord has provided and is providing, we gotta let it out, folks. We gotta let it out. Whether it sounds good or not to us, we gotta let it out because it's the Holy Spirit reaching deep down into the depths and bringing something out of us that has been put there since and before the day you were born, because you're created in the image of God, and God has given us music to lift our souls and to lift us up and bring a smile to our faces. Some people say, well, it's not right to dance. Don't tell David that. David danced in the streets as the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the city. He was celebrating and dancing. David wrote the Psalms, and he wrote many of them as music and as songs and hymns for worship in the temple. That was the purpose of them. He appointed the Levites, musicians, hundreds of them, to play the instruments and to sing so that there would be music during the times of worship. Because music brings that divine thing out of us that turns a frown into a smile and lifts our souls up. Another example, I was watching television New Year's Eve, watching the ball drop and some of the musicians they have on. I was absolutely amazed that this one fellow got up front and stood up there. Now, I'm not criticizing him, but because all music is different and it reaches us in different ways, you see. But he had tattoos all over his arms, and he had the microphone, and there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people around, and they were jumping up and down and dancing. And he was there singing and dancing like this. And I said to the people that I was with, I said, that's what we need to do in church. They're going to be like, what do you mean? I said, I need to get tattoos all over and jump up and down, and everybody will be jumping up and down, and the church will be full. And we'll play that music. And they just looked at me like I was crazy. Well, I don't know. How many of us here, how many of us, like Lawrence Hawk, lately I've been listening to a lot of what's called epic music. Epic music is like the background soundtracks in some of these awesome movies. I just listen to them, boy, it just does something to me. The commercial world has shown us commercials on television with this powerful music behind it, because it's meant to stir us up to think that if we buy this product, we're going to be powerful like this. And the guy drives down the road in the car and he's sliding all over climbing mountains. Well, that's not reality. But they put music to it to make it more powerful, to reach that thing inside us. See? So we are all echoes of Christmas. Every one of us. Because God's put something deep inside of us that music reaches. And if Christmas has made any impact on us at all, if the Lord's goodness to us in Jesus Christ has made any impact on us at all, then we can't let that music die. We have to echo it, allow it to echo in our voices, in our speaking, in our singing, in our whistling, in whatever way we possibly can. I want to close this morning by sharing an example. I'm going to ask Gail to go to the keyboard here, to the organ or the piano. Are you going to play it on? She's going to play it on the piano. I want everyone to turn to 694. 694. What's the most well-known and most famous song? 23rd song, Words of Shepherd, Shall I Walk, right? All right, we can sit around and we can recite that till the cows come home. It's usually recited at funerals or memorial services, so every time I hear the 23rd song, it kind of brings me down. I want you to see the difference music makes when we add these things to the Psalms. Okay, Gail, just give us, lead us into this. That's okay. She's doing this, by the way, spur of the moment. Let's join together. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness. Him for his name.
sake. Yea, though I would through death's dark veil, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My tale thou hast furnished in presence of my bones, my head bows with oil and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy
A few years ago when I was with the youth group out where we're at church in New Millport, Pennsylvania, on our youth group evenings, we had two groups of kids, the younger youth group and the older youth group, 25 to 30 kids each week. And we'd start the night out by singing. We had one of the overhead projectors and we'd sing songs, and we had CDs with some of the modern contemporary music on. And the kids were dancing and they'd be singing, swaying together, arm in arm. These were just good old country kids, you know. It was an awesome evening. I look so forward to it because it filled me up in the music. So the one night we were talking about what they thought was boring about church, and they said, "Oh, the music." I said, "What's so boring about the music? It's very sound theologically. I don't know, it's just boring the way it's played and all that kind of stuff." So we had a CD. It's Lincoln Brewster. Lincoln Brewster is one of the modern contemporary bands that plays Christian music. And we played the song Greatest Thy Faithfulness. And there's a span away in the music, and there's a bridge between a couple of the verses. It's electric guitar music, you know, singing, and their arms are in the air. It's just so powerful. And we got all done, and I said, "You like that song?" "Yeah, that's a really good one." I said, "Turn in your Methodist hymnal. I think it's page 140. They turned to page 140 in the Methodist hymnal, and there was Greatest Thy Faithfulness. I said, "That is nothing more than a good old church song, just done in a new way." But it reached to the depths of their souls, and they were singing and praising God. What an awesome experience it is. Praise God that He's put a joyous song in our hearts and something deep in our souls that music reaches. And now, folks, our challenge in the next few months, 11, 12 months, is to be the echoes of Christmas. The great songs that tell about God's wonderful deeds, His divine grace, and forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. Let's pray.